You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we hope you can stay tuned for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and Donna and I have been hosting this program for 17 plus years.
Wow.
We co-pastor a church here in Stewart that God gave us a name way back. It'll be 22 years, January 3rd, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And it's not about us. It's about the Lord, His appointed times, and what He's doing with these things for us to understand today, patterns and everything that God's put in place. And so you heard our intro. We do a lot with the Jewish roots and the Hebraism. And we look at God's appointed times, and see, we say so many times that God didn't put these things in place just to give the Jewish people something else to do. They were to honor something that was going to be done in the future. And so we can see that as we study this carefully. It was also a historical event that happened way back, like in Leviticus 23 with those seven appointed times. There's really eight counting the Sabbath. And so God uses all this to teach us about His Son, the Messiah, that was going to come in the future. And now today we can begin to see the fulfillment of a lot of things, because much has been fulfilled already. And we've talked a lot on this program about the first four appointed times. We have Passover, we have unleavened bread, we have first fruits, and we have Pentecost or Shavuot, okay? And so the Lord, Yeshua, our Messiah, has already fulfilled those four appointed times. So they will not be fulfilled in His life again. But we keep telling people on this program, the latter three appointed times, 6 months later, what do we have? We have trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles, and He will fulfill all that when He comes back to establish His kingdom on this earth. And so there's all patterns to teach us the whole pattern that God has put in place with His program from beginning to end. And we've mentioned this a lot on this program. You know, God has this 7,000-year program in place to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. You can see that in Genesis chapter 1. Each one of those days represents a period of 1,000 years on God's prophetic calendar. If we think about it, Peter even talked about it, quoted what God said, that one day was like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day to God. And so it's right in the very beginning. So He's got a plan and a purpose. And He chose the Jewish people to bring it to pass and to show us. And they wrote the scriptures. We have this incredible book I have before me, the Bible. And it's a Jewish document to show us all these things that's going to come to pass and where we're at even today. And we can see how close we're getting at this time. And so we're going to talk today a little bit, I want to pass it down, about the time of Hanukkah. The first day of Hanukkah comes on our calendar on December the 16th. But what day is that on the Jewish calendar? It's Kislev what?
24.
24.
In the evening.
Starts. And it runs for 8 days. And so we'll talk about these things maybe this week and next week to give you some insight about the prophetic things that you need to know. And this is what this program we've had for all these years is all about, to teach us the things of God that He's revealed in all these appointed times that God has in place. And they rehearse these every year, every year. Like I think about Passover, we talk about this a lot, don't we? For about 1,500 years after Israel came out of Egypt, what happened? They rehearsed that 1,500 years, and then one day the real thing came to pass, which was the Son of God, the Messiah came. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world came at that time, just like when they put the blood of the lamb or the goat on the doorpost and lintel of their homes in Israel. They were passed over when God came through there and destroyed all that. And so we have this wonderful, it's a pattern, and now God showed us how it was fulfilled. It was fulfilled in Yeshua, HaMashiach, our Messiah. Right, Pastor Donna? Well, Donna's got a couple of announcements to make before we get into this, but there's so much good in this that we would like to share with you. And it'll take a couple of weeks, really, won't, Pastor Donna, to really cover the things that we need to talk about. So tell them about the things you got mentioned on your heart here.
Well, there's not a whole lot, but I just want to, you know, we're getting ready to start and go into a new year, aren't
Amen.
We?
Amen. Sure, getting close.
You talked about Kislev on the 6th, the 16th of December. Well, it's also, it's between the evenings of Kislev 24 and 25.
Right.
Because we know we're looking at the time that changes at sunset, right?
Mm-hmm. From night to night,
When the new day starts, mm-hmm. according to the Hebrew calendar,
Amen.
Jewish calendar. So we, the calendars, if you'd like a copy of the calendar for the month of December, you can just give us a call and we'd be glad to mail it to you. And like you said, this is the one time that we have for celebration for Hanukkah, and we're going to share about that. So I want to mention also that we have, you can listen to this broadcast also on the internet on
Amen.
WCNO.com and just go to live and or else go to the podcast and go to Saturday and look at the time, 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time, and you'll see where it says Raising the Standard, Pastor Gene Hilton. And you can listen to this and other programs we have done over the years, amen, over the last couple of years. So, yes, we do. We do celebrate Hanukkah, and it's going to be starting in the middle of the month, and that's a wonderful time because, you know, that's really when Yeshua was
conceived
in Mary's womb.
Yeah.
We can prove that according to the scriptures, and according to when John was, you know, John, according to Mary and Elizabeth, we can actually tell the time of the season when all these things happened. But why don't more people know about it? Well, you know, it's because we really don't get into the Bible and really study things out, which is what that's what this program is all about, raising the standard, knowing more truth. See, the Bible says the truth will make us free, will make you free. So when we know more truth, then we will be able to have a greater understanding of the holidays, of the feasts of the Lord, the times and the seasons. See, we're supposed to know the times and the seasons. It tells us that back in the book of Genesis. Chapter 1, even, about the times and the seasons.
That's right. It's all there.
So it's important to know what time and what season this is. Of course, we know everybody's putting lights up now, and you're starting to hear of Christmas music. Well, it does lift up the Jesus, amen, and that's what we want to do. We must be the light of the world. We must have light in us and salt in us so that we can share the gospel, amen. So we need to know, you know, about the other things as well, because it just opens our eyes to see the truth, you know, how much we've been deceived. So I just want to give our phone number, because we do have services here in Stuart. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And we have Friday night service at 7 p.m. We have Shabbat on Friday. And on Saturday, we also have classes on Saturday. So if you'd like to be part of any of those things, you can give us a call. And we have prayer on Thursday. So I'm going to give the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And we just pray you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving with family and friends.
Amen.
And, amen. And so we're getting ready to, well, we're already in December. But it won't be long before we'll be in a new year.
On our solar calendar,
That's right, on the solar calendar. So if you'd like a copy of that calendar, just give us a call. We'd be glad to mail it to you. Amen?
Amen. I was thinking about what you said about the conception of Jesus and his birth. If you haven't bought this book that we offer on the radio.
Your commentary.
A commentary, Pictures of the Messiah. I have an appendix in the back of the book, the first appendix in the book, about the biblical dates of Yeshua's conception and birth. It makes sense when you think about it, when you look at the time and all that, because Hanukkah wound up being a festival of lights. Tabernacles is a festival of lights. They have a
comparison. Time,
comparison, but they have a time when they have the lights, the four mm-hmm. candelabras we talk about that's established in the court of the women in the Feast of Tabernacles. And so Yeshua was conceived at a time of lights because he's the light of the world. And also he was born at a time called the Festival of Lights. So these are incredible just things that God's laid out to give us hints about this. And this thing about his conception and all, you know, you can prove this. Nobody's looked at it that much. A few people I've read have. But you can prove all this about the conception in Luke chapter 1 and 2. That's all you need to know. And it's
See,
all there.
There's some mysteries that we need to know. And God wants us to know these mysteries.
That's right.
But how do we find out? Well, we have to look at the Word of God. And we can't just look at one place. We have to look in the Gospels and look in the Old and the New Testament.
That's
we
right.
see what happened.
Put it all together.
And we can see how the enemy came to destroy both of those times.
That's right.
And, you know, he said the enemy came, the devil sent the enemy through people, Antiochus. We can talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah.
Because, see, both of these, the Feast of Tabernacles and Hanukkah, they both have the same number of days. A lot of them are the same things that they do. Yeah. And actually, Hanukkah is actually a replacement of the time when the Feast of Tabernacles was stopped.
Yeah.
And
we'll probably
Antiochus
talk about
came
that next
in.
Week.
We
yeah.
can talk about that
because
it all
stopped.
Works together. What happened
right.
in the Old and then what happened here during Hanukkah? Well, it had to be, the temple had to be cleansed again.
That's right.
Because it was defiled.
Sure
you know,
was.
They offered, they sacrificed a pig in
the
temple
altar.
And blood was all over the place and there was graffiti all over the place and they just took everything out of the temple. They just turned it into a... I can't even think of the word.
Totally desecrated.
It was just a bloody mess, and
sure
it was. The Jews had no place to worship. They stopped this Feast of Tabernacles, you know, where they had the lights and up. And even Jesus spoke on that day when he was alive, because there's certain Torah sections that they read all the time. Every year, they have an order of how they read their Bible, and
that's
we're
right.
reading right now because they started the Torah portion started again. Mm-hmm. During this new year, 5775, and our church is reading according to the Torah portions, which the Jewish people read, and I think it's helping us to get greater understanding as well. So both of these times, we're going to probably be looking at the Feast of Tabernacles and looking at this Feast of Dedication, which is called Hanukkah, and you know, it wasn't really a time of giving presents. What has happened in the modern day is to compete with Christmas, and Christmas really shouldn't just be a time of giving presents, should it?
Nope.
No. And so this, and that was even changed because the enemy doesn't wants to change everything that's holy.
That's right.
See, the devil wants
must
to come in and
it.
Change everything that's holy, and he will use people, places, and kings,
yeah.
and
events. It's happened
to do that,
yeah.
you know, to change these days because they want to keep their pagan holidays, right? So, but they also want to have maybe some spiritual things. So what they try to do, they try to bring them together.
It's a mixture.
And marry them together.
Yeah.
And what does it do? It just, it's
more
a
confusion.
Lie.
Yeah.
It brings more confusion.
That's right.
And more lies and everything else. But if we look at Hanukkah and we look at the Feast of Tabernacles, we will see
The comparison
and how the enemy came in. See, that was the most joyful time of the year, the Feast of Tabernacles, right? And so they wanted to stop it, and they did stop it. But when finally there were some people that were very strong in the Lord, there needed to be strong in the Lord, not the Lord Jesus, because Jesus wasn't here yet, but in the Lord God Almighty, they were strong, and they were a group called the Maccabees.
That's right.
And they were a few in number.
But they weren't going to tolerate
it. But they wouldn't tolerate. They wouldn't back down. See,
that's right.
If you're a Christian, you can't be a wimp and be a Christian. You
that's
can't
right.
back down. No matter where you're at. Well, thank God we're in a country where we're pretty safe, you know. But we could be in a place where we're not pretty safe. There's a lot of Christians that are in countries that are not safe
That's
at
right.
all. And they have to be strong in the Lord. And so these groups, this group of people were strong, and they had to take, they fought. They fought with all their heart, and they took back the temple. Well, and then it had to be cleansed. And so what did they do? They wanted to reestablish what the enemy stopped back at during the Feast of Tabernacles. So that's how Hanukkah came to be.
Yep.
Amen. So you're going to hear a little bit. You're going to hear about this, and I know we've kind of shown, I've kind of talked, we've talked about bits and pieces here and there, but you know, it says, here a little, there a little.
That's right.
And,
line upon line.
If you want this commentary, it gives a teaching line upon line, and you can get a deeper understanding of even when Jesus, and you're going to read, I guess, see over there, you're in
John chapter 10,
is how Jesus celebrated this
time. He honored it, that's right.
He honored this time. So, you know, we shouldn't just look at Christmas time. We need to look at also the feasts of the Lord.
Well, the biblical actually, things,
the biblical things that happen throughout the Bible. And so it's written right here in John chapter 10.
That's right. And so the commentary, the book I wrote about his conception and birth, the only place you have to go to the Old Testament is when you look and see where Zacharias, who was a priest, served in the temple. And this gives us a clue. The rest of it's all in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 as well. So we'll kind of get into that a little bit as we go along as well, because it is the conception of our Lord. But let's talk about something. Before we go back and see the origination of all of it and the things that were put in place that a lot of people don't really understand, and I've heard people even say that there was nothing revealed in the first covenant, you know, they call it the Old Testament, they would reveal anything about Hanukkah, but that's not true because it's in Daniel chapter 8, and maybe we'll look at that a little bit before we get off here today, I don't know. But let's go over and look and see how Donna mentioned, Pastor Donna here mentioned about how our Lord Jesus, Yeshua, honored this time called Hanukkah. So let's read some verses. I'm going to go to chapter 10 with you of John, and we're going to start in verse 22. It says this, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication." So Hanukkah means dedication is what it means. And it was winter. It was in the winter time. So it tells you when it was in the later part of the year. "And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." He says, are you the Messiah? Would you tell us plainly? Well, before we read the rest of this, think about this. Yeshua, all through the Gospels, excuse me, a little rough here, he picked certain times of the year to say certain things, and they always revolved around God's appointed times. And so we're going to find out with this what Jesus is going to share here was something that happened with a man, a king. But remember, this Hanukkah is not one of God's appointed times that he put in place. This happened in history, and so God remembers everything that people try to attempt and do to stop the plan of God through the nation of Israel. And so Hanukkah was one of them. So was Purim. Donna talked about exchanging gifts at this time. Well, the only appointed time that we see, and it's not an appointed time either, I keep saying appointed time, when they did exchange gifts was during the time of Purim in Esther's day. And so we have to keep things in perspective with the Word of God and nothing else. And so I want you to keep this in mind as we read this. Jesus is going to speak some things here that the Jewish people knew the history back a couple hundred years prior to this and what happened. And so they got downright angry. So let's listen to this as we read this and think about what he said. And so they ask him, "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Let us know, are you the Messiah?" And Jesus answered them. Look what he said. "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Isn't that true? "And I give unto them eternal life." Listen to this. "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That we have total security from all outside forces when we're with Yeshua. Isn't it wonderful? "My Father," next verse 29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And this is what got them all upset. Verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Boy, they got mad. Now let's look what happens here. "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." So they knew right away what Hanukkah was all about. The man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes IV, it's all revealed over in Daniel. All right, he was this terrible king that came. And he one day, Donna talked about, they sacrificed a pig on the altar and threw out the priesthood and all that. And he was a despot. He was terrible what he did to the Jewish people and all that. And so They knew all that history. What did Antiochus Epiphanes do? He called himself God. The word Antiochus Epiphanes means God manifest. So he declared himself to be God. And so they were reminded this time of the year that Jesus spoke these things. Hey, there was someone a couple hundred years before you came that said the same thing, and he was not God.
They thought about Antiochus.
That's right. And so here he's saying, I and my Father are one. So he was declaring himself to be God. Now let's go down here.
I just want to reiterate what it says here in verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells us when the time was.
Because
we're to know the times and the seasons. And I'm going to read it again. And it was at Jerusalem, tells us the place,
right,
the feast of the dedication.
That's right.
And it was winter.
Winter time.
This is Hanukkah.
That's right.
So it doesn't actually say Hanukkah in our Bible.
But dedication
the
means
feast
Hanukkah.
Feast of dedication. Dedication means Hanukkah. And it says, and it was winter. See, it wasn't in the fall or the summer. It was in the winter.
Winter time.
And this is when Jesus walked right into the temple.
That's right.
In Solomon's porch.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jews came around about him. See, mm-hmm. It doesn't say the Gentiles came around about him. These were Jewish people he
That's
was
right.
talking to.
Because they knew Jewish history.
And
yeah.
We need to know that, too.
That's
the
right.
Jews came right about him and
mm-hmm.
said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? So they were questioning in their hearts and in their minds, who is this man? Who is this man? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. So they were thinking this possibly could be the Christ, you know. So they're inquiring, they're interested, and mm-hmm. these are Jewish people
That's
wanting
right.
to know who this man is. You know, Jesus answered and said,
tell us plainly.
I told you, he says,
mm-hmm.
and ye believed not. See?
That's right.
He told us, and they believed not. And then it goes on with what Pastor Gene said.
So they weren't taking him out and stoning then, weren't they?
We need to know that, you know, when the time is and the season and
That's
who
right.
he's talking to here
That's
and
right.
and what yeah. what he's doing. Because he's wanting to bring them to the truth. You know, I'm not the one that came before. I am. He says, I'm the good shepherd, right?
Mm-hmm.
My sheep hear my voice, he says, and I know them, and they follow me.
Right.
So he's giving them, he's telling them what they want to know, what they are interested in knowing, but they don't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't want to hear what he had to say
right.
because they thought that they were, you know, he was declaring that he was blaspheming God.
That's right. But I thought about this, you know, in verse 22 that she read, it was the feast of the dedication, which is Hanukkah. Well, more likely, when Jesus spoke this, more likely it was probably on the first day of Hanukkah. This was the beginning of this season. So this mm-hmm. could have well been on Kislev 24 or 25 there, you know. And so he spoke that, and they knew the history with Israel and all that, so they got upset. And we look at the bottom of verse 36, it says, they accused him, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on and says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But listen to this now. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe
the
works,
that
you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And then it says, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into a place where John at first baptized, and there he abode, and so on. All right?
Well, so, it's really good, too. We need to know, because we know we have Jesus and the Father in us when we become born again, don't we?
That's right.
And so what Jesus said, that the Father is in me, in him, and I, meaning Jesus, is in the Father. So we are one. When we become born again,
we have the same relationship, don't we? Hallelujah.
Right. We have the Father and the Son, and we are one.
Mm-hmm.
We are one. And, that's why he could do the works that God
right.
had given him to do. But
mm-hmm.
he says, you know, believe the works that ye may know and believe. So if you believe the works, then you're going to know and believe that the Father is in me or in Jesus, and that Jesus, I am in the Father.
And the Father was behind everything that Lord did.
Jesus said he never did
or said.
That's and
right.
he was
That's
led
right.
totally
That's right.
by what the Father told him.
That's right.
He
so now,
God.
Let's go over and take a look now. Jesus honored this, even though it wasn't one of God's appointed times, but it was something for the Jews to remember. And then God, I believe with all my heart, as the scriptures reveal, chose that time before Jesus came to this earth, that he was conceived at that time. Amen? So that's interesting. And we're going to go over to Daniel chapter 8 now, and let's kind of look at how this was established at the beginning to give us a clue of what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't go into all the history of this, but I want to take some key verses and show you here, and maybe next week we can talk a little more about it. But if you look at Daniel chapter 8, we see God was showing through Daniel these kingdoms that were going to come, and we got down to the one about Greece when it came, and what happened with all that. So if you read this carefully, you'll see, and we know that Alexander the Great, if you've studied history at all, was that great Grecian king that took over the world in a very short period of time, about 13 years or so. And if you read all this, it talks about a big goat that had a notable horn between his eyes. Well, this goat is represented here, if you read this, of Greece, and the notable horn between his eyes is Alexander the Great. But he died at a very young age, and so what did he do? He did not give his kingdom to his posterity, it tells us, but he took the four generals that helped him conquer the world in the north, the south, the east, and the west, and gave them a portion of the territory that he had conquered. And so this was what this was all about here in Daniel 8 to start with. So I'm going to start in verse 8, and let's read this. Daniel says, "Therefore the he-goat," this is Alexander the Great, "waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, for it came up, it was broken, and for it, for Alexander the Great, came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven." So he gave his kingdom to these four generals after he died, okay? And he died at 33 years old. Interesting topic there, huh? And then verse 9 says, "And out of one of them," one of those kingdoms, "came forth a little horn." Now this little horn here is going to be Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, "which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land." Well, the pleasant land is what? Israel. Verse 10, "And it," this is Alexander the Great, I mean not Alexander, I'm sure, I'm sorry, Antiochus Epiphanes, "waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host," which are the Jews, "and of the stars of the ground, and stamped upon them." This is more likely talking about all the Jews and the heavenly people that God had put in place to serve in the temple and all that. Amen? The holy people of Israel was his stars. Now, verse 11 says, "Yea, he magnified himself," who's this? He, this is Antiochus, "even to the prince of the host." Wow. And that means the high priest and all. "And by him," now listen to this, "by him," Antiochus, "the daily sacrifice was taken away." Now, this is important about the daily sacrifice. Now, before we go on, remember, Israel was required to offer a burnt offering in the morning at 9 a.m. and one at 3 p.m. in the afternoon between the two evenings. So we got to keep this in mind. And it says, "And by him," Antiochus, "the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. And a host," this is like an army, "was given him," who, Antiochus, "against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression." He was breaking all the commandments of God. Well, he didn't know God, but that's what he was doing. So here's the second time the daily sacrifice is mentioned. "And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced," and what? "Prospered." So this is two times now the daily sacrifice is mentioned. Now we go to verse 13. "Then I heard one saint speaking," Daniel says, "and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long," now listen, "how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation?" This is the abomination, huh? "To give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot." So Daniel asked the question, how long will this happen? Okay, and so we have the daily sacrifice mentioned three times. This is so important to understand. This is what this is all about, because they desecrated the temple, Antiochus did, took away all this, and we know it was called an abomination of desolation. And there was one back in that day, and there's going to be one also in Jacob's trouble. We might get a chance to look at that. I don't know whether we'll do it today or not, but there'll be another one also at the end. Now, look what's said to this, to Daniel here. "And he said unto me," now listen to this now, "unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man." And we'll talk about that in a moment. He's going to reveal something to him. But the question was asked here, how long will this be? Okay? Now, it says 2,300 days. Now, we just read these verses where it was required of the Jewish people, and it was required by the law for them to offer two free will burnt offerings every single day for as long as they were in existence. And they'll continue to do that probably as well as we go on into the future. But over there, we'll see there's only going to be, if you read Ezekiel, There's only going to be one burnt offering, and it's going to be in the morning, not in the afternoon, because Jesus only died once for us. That's incredible. But let's go on with this now. So the angel told him unto 2,300 days. Now, the interesting thing is this verse here where it talks about that 2,300 days is really not what it's showing us. Now, I've got an old Hebrew Bible here, and it's done on the Masoretic text, done back in 1916 and 17, and with the Masoretic text. Now, I tell people all the time, a Bible you have, you need to have the first covenant needs to be in the Masoretic text, and the new covenant has to be what? In the Majority text, the Textus Receptus. That's what it has to be. So this is what I'm going to read here to you out of this translation, and it's based on King James. It's what this would read without understanding. Now, I'm going to go back where it says, the question was, how long shall be the vision concerning the continual burnt offering and the transgression that causes appallment, it's called in here, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,000, now listen, and 300 evenings and mornings, then shall the sanctuary be victorious. So he's talking about two, in the King James, unto 2,300 days. Well, think about this. 2,300 what evenings and mornings is what they're talking about. Now we can prove this in Daniel chapter 8. I'm going to go over here and read verse 26 with you in this chapter. And Daniel was told, and the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. So we have to do a little thinking on this. And a lot of people take these days and convert them into years. You can't do that. That's not good exegesis. That's not, unless God shows you to do that, you can't do that. And so in this other translation, which is from the King James, in verse 26 says, in the vision of the evenings and the mornings, what you have been told is true. So evenings and mornings. Now let's think about this. There's two sacrifices required every single day, okay? So here he mentions 2,300 evenings and mornings, okay, which are days. So what do we have to do to figure this out? There's two offerings required every day that Antiochus Epiphanes took away. The daily sacrifice is mentioned three times in these verses. So this is showing us something very important. And I've heard people say that there's nothing in the first covenant that would reveal Hanukkah. This is how this is established. It's going to show you right here, okay? Now listen to this now. So we have 2,300 days. It means evenings and mornings. Well, there's a sacrifice required in the evening, or in the morning and in the evening. But the Jewish calendar, remember, they go from evening to evening to make a day, all right? So what do we have to do? We've got 2,300 days. Now, we want to find out how long a period of time this went on. So what do we have to do? We have to divide it by two, because there are two sacrifices every day. So if we divide this by two, we now come up with 1,150 days as the actual period of time that this lasted, okay? And so people stretched it into trying to make you think it's almost 3 years or whatever, okay? But we can't look at it that way. We got to look at what the Bible has to say. Now, years ago, when I looked at this, I have a translation here, or not a translation. It's called The Works of Josephus in four volumes. I remember reading about Hanukkah, and he said, okay, from the time that the abomination was set up, which is this thing, this transgression of desolation that King James talks about, it was going to be a period of exactly 3 years, okay? Well, when I got looking at this, I said, well, this can't even be right. So if you take this 1,150 days, okay, now he said 3 years. So if we take 3 years on the biblical calendar, 360 days times three, you come up with 1,080 days, okay? So there's something, an error here. We've got an extra 70 days left over. And so this is what troubled me back when I wrote my book on this. And I said, well, there's something not right. It's not there. But see, God was using this to show you and I something very special. We mentioned up front, Jesus was conceived at Hanukkah, this time, okay? But also, he wants to show us something else about another festival of lights. And so we think about this, we have another 70 days. So what he's telling us here in Daniel is that this period lasted for 3 years on the biblical calendar, plus another 70 days, okay? There's 70 additional days. If you take this 1,150 days we talked about, subtract 3 years on the biblical calendar of a year having 360 days in it, so you come up with 1,080. So those 70 days are left over. So when I studied this, I was really confused. I said, Lord, what in the world's going on? Well, this is what he told me to do with this. And this ought to wake you up. You think about this a little bit. So he was trying to reveal with this the exact day that Antiochus Epiphanes came in and stopped all these sacrifices. This is revealed in the scripture. I really believe this. So you know what the Lord told me? This all came to an ending in 164 B.C., when the Maccabees took back the temple and they found the flask of oil that we've talked about a lot over the years, and it was only enough to burn the menorah for what? One day, wasn't it, Pastor Don? It lasted for 8 days. So the Lord told me, he says, go to 164 B.C. on the first day of Hanukkah, all right? And he said, now I want you to back up 3 years. So I went back to 165, 166, and I went back to 167 at this time, okay? And so I thought, well, what's this tell me? And the Lord then told me, he said, now from that day, the first day of Hanukkah that year, back up 70 days. And you can do it on any calendar. It doesn't have to be a Jewish calendar.
That's right.
You back up 70 days. You know what you're going to come to? The first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is when he knew this was the most joyous time that the Jewish people had every year with their appointed times. He came and stopped all the sacrifices. That's when he polluted the temple and did all the things that he did. But there was a 30-day period between, or 70-day period really, between, not 30, thinking about something else, 70-day period between the abomination of desolation was set up and when they stopped all the offerings and all the things that God wanted to have done at a particular time, which is those two morning and evening sacrifices. So he stopped all that. So God showed us the exact day when that happened. It's incredible. The first day of Tabernacles. Now, if you read, I know it's not biblical.
And, you know, 70 is key, too.
That's right.
According to these numbers, according to God's numbers, what
right.
70 means.
That's right.
70 is key.
That's right. But if we look at some of the other things we can look at and understand, you know, we can go back to the pseudepigrapha books, you know, like you can read the Maccabees. There's two books of Maccabees in there. Well, I went and looked that up, and you can prove over there even that what happened when they took back the temple area in 164 B.C., well, God spoke to them, to Maccabees, you know, the hammer, Maccabee, and told them to just to take on right from where they left off 3 years and 70 days prior to that. And they were right in the middle, beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles when this all happened. And so they went on and did the same ceremonies and all that they did at that time. And that's why it's called a Festival of Lights. Plus the menorah was in a miracle. The menorah burned for 8 days with one flask of oil until they could make some more oil. So this is the key with all this. And so we can understand what God was trying to show you and I today, how important this thing called Hanukkah is. And that's why our Lord over there in John chapter 10 spent all that time and shared with them. And they got mad because he was reminding them what happened with Antiochus Epiphanes. And he was not God, but he said, here I am. I and my Father are one. And he was the one that was going to be recognized at Hanukkah, no one else. Isn't that incredible? So we see all this right here in Daniel chapter 8. So those that say there's nothing in the first covenant, the old covenant, some people call it, they would reveal Hanukkah. Well, they're mistaken because this is right here. This shows you how it's established. It's very important to understand this. And so let's go on and read over in Daniel 8 a little bit more. I read verse 15. Now look at verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Daniel didn't understand. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and fell upon my face. And he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about the end of this period with Antiochus Epiphanes, but also it's going to be revealed in the end of the days where we're at right now. That's what we're revealing with you on this program. Now, verse 18. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. Now, he's talking about Antiochus and what happened at that time, but it's also going to reveal some things for us in the last days. Now, verse 20, the ram was what? This was Greece, okay, which thou sawest having two horns, and the kings of the Median Persia, the ram, okay. Now remember, I said this is not Greece, this is the Persian Empire. The goat was from Greece, okay. So the ram was the Persian king, and they saw two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat, this was Alexander the Great, is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that's between his eyes is the first king. So he's explaining the whole thing. Now that being broken, what that horn, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, out of what nation? The Grecian Empire, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance and misunderstanding, and understanding dark sentences shall what? Stand up. This is talking about Antiochus. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause what? Craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. This word peace in this scripture right here with the King James is not the word that we have normally for peace, shalom. It's a word pronounced shalav, shalav, S-H-L-V-A-H, which just means security. It's not the peace that Jesus brings. Now, verse 26, we read that already. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days. Afterward I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So here we have all this, okay? Now, so they set up an abomination of desolation at that time. Now I'm going to take you over here to Daniel chapter 11. And Daniel talks some more about this. Where do I want to go here? I'm going to start in verse 30 of Daniel 11. Listen to this. For the ships of Chittim, this is referring to when Rome was coming into power, shall come against him, who's this, Antiochus. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. Whoa. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence. That means he's going to talk and show regard with them that forsake the Holy Covenant, trying to convince them to turn from it. Now here's the key verse. And arms shall stand on his part. This is all in 1 Maccabees. You want to look at it. Verses chapter 1, verses 44 through 54, if you want to read it. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away what? Here we go. The daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolation. Amen? And so you can go on over in 1 Maccabees from where we left off there at 54. You read 56 through 61, it tells you this. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do what? Exploits. So we have an abomination of desolation that happened in that time, and we got one coming soon again in Jacob's trouble. So Amen. It's all a foreshadow for this. That's why God revealed this to you and I. This is incredible. So, I get excited thinking about this. And so we have all this prophetic thought that we can think on all these wonderful things. And when we study it and we find out the truth of all of it, even the day that Antiochus Epiphanes stopped all the sacrifices and did all that was on the first day of Tabernacles of the year 167 B.C. It's incredible when we think about it. Well, we're going to have, this is a pattern. There's going to be a duplication of it in the last days as well with a man called the false Messiah. The Antichrist is going to do the same thing, but he's going to do even worse than Antiochus Epiphanes did. And so if we look at this, if you read Daniel chapter 11, you can look at all these kings that came out of Alexander the Great's kingdom, and you go all the way up and you count up to the look at this, you'll find out that Antiochus Epiphanes was the eighth kingdom that came out after Daniel, in the book of Daniel, after Alexander the Great died, the eighth kingdom. And then it stopped. And there was a couple more, two or three kings after that, that he didn't talk about. Well, there's a reason for that, because over in Daniel, or not in Daniel, in Revelation chapter 17, it reveals all the details of this to show you. Remember, there's going to be 10 kings that's going to be there with the false Messiah. Three of them will be what? We will be conquered, and the false Messiah is going to put his people in charge in those nations. And there'll be three more put in. But the key thing is, if we take 3 from 10, we're down to 7 nations. It's going to be there at the end. But he's going to put someone in his own. And we know that it tells you over in Daniel 17 that out of that group, there's going to be an eighth king that's going to come. Well, this Antiochus Epiphanes was a pattern for you and I about the false Messiah, because he was the eighth king that came out of the Grecian Empire at that time. And so there's going to be an eighth one that's going to come that's going to be terrible. It's going to establish what those last 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation that's talked about in Matthew 24 and different places there with Mark 13 and all that. And so God wants us to know this. So he's showing us when the time of all this is going to happen to so you, I will not be caught in darkness. We're in light. We're going to know the truth. And so here we are. He's showing all this hundreds of years before couple hundred years before Jesus even came, but before all this end time was going to come with this false Messiah. And we're approaching that time right now. So God wants us to understand the patterns here to teach us. And so my understanding looking at this then, he's even going to show us where the false Messiah is going to come out of. Because we know that Alexander Great's kingdom was given to four of his generals, but all God was interested in Daniel 11 was what the king of the north, which were the Seleucids, and the king of the south, which was the Ptolemies, which was from Egypt. And so it shows me then, Antiochus Epiphanes came out of the Seleucid Empire, or up in the north, so it's probably going to come up in that area that was called Syria at that time. It was more than just what that little group that we see today called Syria. It included part of Turkey. It was up in the north, but Syria was there as well. So this could well be where the false Messiah is going to come from. So he's revealing all this to you and I so we can be aware and we can watch.
Amen.
Look what's going on right now in Syria. Look what's going on in the Middle East over there. We can see a picture of all this. It's coming together, the things that God has promised was going to happen. And he's right on time. He's not going to be fooled by anything. And so this is what's beautiful about this time called Hanukkah, or dedication, because the temple was rededicated at that time. Amen. Now, there's something else I'd like to share, but I'm going to save that for you for next week to show you what's going to happen in the very future about Hanukkah. God will use those days again to show you something very important. And next week, you should shout and jump up and down when you find out what we're going to talk about with it. God has put this all in place, but he expects us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we get the answers. So this shows you what this was all about and how it was stopped, the season of the year was stopped, and all that, when the abomination was set up, when the sacrifices were stopped, all this is revealed in this time called Hanukkah. And so Jesus was there in John 10 to honor that day, and no wonder the religious leaders got mad at him because they knew the history of what Antiochus Epiphanes IV had done. Amen, Donna?
That's right. That's right.
So that's just the foundation. We'll just kind of leave it right there. And then next week we've got some more things we could talk about. But the most important thing is how God used Hanukkah to bring the conception of the Messiah at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
And then 280 days in the future, if you go on a Jewish calendar, you come up to the Feast of Tabernacles.
And perhaps next week we can talk about the conception of Jesus and also the conception of his cousin John.
That's right.
Which was John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship that Mary had with Elizabeth. It was a very special mm-hmm. relationship. And from the scriptures,
right.
We can pretty much see that, you know, Mary, the mother of Yeshua, was not very, very young. But she loved the Lord with all her heart, and you know, she was the chosen vessel for Yeshua to come through, and you know, it was a miracle.
That's right.
She had not known or been with anyone. She wasn't hadn't been with anyone, and so it was a miracle of the Holy
she
Ghost.
She knew no man, did she?
Of the Holy
right.
Spirit, even though she was betrothed to Joseph. That doesn't mean that they were married. They had consummated their marriage vows. So she was, you know, virgin. She
right.
was a virgin, but she was so trusting, and she, you know, she heard from the Lord,
and she believed, didn't she?
And she believed.
That's right.
It's not like what we just read earlier back there in John, chapter 10, where Jesus was telling them who he was.
Right.
And they thought he was blaspheming God.
Amen.
And so they didn't believe, even though they were inquiring and they were asking him. And, you know, he was in the temple speaking to the Jews. We got to remember that. He was speaking to the Jewish people.
That's right.
And, of course, many, many people followed him. Many Jewish people followed him. But the ones that gave him the trouble was those
religious leaders.
Religious leaders, those Pharisees and Sadducees.
That's right.
And those who thought they had all the answers,
that's
you know.
Right.
And so they're the ones that gave him the trouble, that gave him problems.
That's right.
But many, many people followed him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're going to talk, maybe we'll talk next week about how we can really tell when Jesus was conceived and when he was born.
That's right.
Because there's a misconception in the church today and thinking that Jesus was born on December 25th.
That's right.
So we'll talk about that next week. It's important that we have Jesus in our heart.
Amen.
You know, no matter what day he was born.
That's
on.
Right.
But we need to know the truth because it sets us up for knowing why would God put it in the Bible? Why is it in the Bible about
right.
John and about Elizabeth and about Mary and about their relationship?
Amen.
And even about the time that they went to Jerusalem.
That's right.
See, they were to go to Jerusalem for a particular time. And it was an important time because all the men had to go to
all the priesthood did
go to their cities.
Yeah.
Amen. And so that was a special time too. So, you know, God's timing. And God's timing is so important that we would recognize, because it tells us right in the very beginning in Genesis that
That's
we
right.
are to know the times and the seasons.
Amen.
And He even says it would, you know, through the sky, through the stars and the heavens. Well, there was a star that was a special star, you know, and it also talks to us about when the shepherds were in the field. See, they weren't out in the field in December, in the cold.
The cold weather.
No, there was a special time, and why Jesus had to be born where He was born, in a sukkah, not in the castle, not in a, you know, some great place.
Right.
But see, he came as a servant. And He came as a lowly servant, but He's going to be coming back as a reigning king.
That's right.
So we need to see how He came the first time and how is He going to come the second time. How is He going to come the next time? See, He is coming back for the church. He's coming back for those who are looking for Him, those who are saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." Not every Christian is looking for Jesus to come back. They're looking to see what they're going to do, what their life is. Well, that's important, but we need to seek first. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And a lot of people leave the next part out, "and His righteousness."
His righteousness, right.
What's right.
Doing
so
it His way,
we
yeah.
seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Then He says all these other things will be added unto us. And I think people get confusion about what all these other things might be.
Yeah.
He wants to give us the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. He wants us to live in the Spirit. He wants to give us and direct us on how we are to live, give us these things that we need so that we can overcome the works of the devil.
Yeah.
See, we need tools.
A bunch of material things,
We need things we need certain things to overcome the works of the devil. And then you can go over and look in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us some of these things. Also in Galatians, it tells us how we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to have the supernatural love of God. And so, you know, we can see how God is like, it's like someone making a beautiful quilt. Well, you have to find the right pieces to go in the right places. Well, God's given us all the keys.
Amen.
And we just have to get them. We have to figure out where they go. And He's showed us that too. But see, you can't just take one scripture and figure out where the piece goes.
That's right.
You have to look at Daniel like we did. You have to look in John. You have to look in Matthew. You have to look in Mark. You have to look in Luke. You have to look at all these places. And then you begin to see not just the little picture. So you might just be focusing on one little thing. Well, God wants us to be able to put this together so that we see the whole picture. And so that's why He says these mysteries are, they're not, see, they come by the Spirit.
That's right.
The mysteries of God, I believe, come by the Spirit and the Word, the truth. But you have to be able to, not just mentally or mathematically, just try to figure things out, because, you know, we can work numbers. People can work numbers and they come up with the wrong solution. But we need to know this by the Spirit and
Amen.
The Word, so that we can see how God thinks, because we don't really know how God thinks unless we have the mind of Christ. So we need the mind of Christ. And what did Jesus say even back in John? He says, "The Father's in me and I am in the Father." Well, the same with us. We're born again. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost
Hallelujah.
In us to bring us into what? All truth.
That's right.
So the Bible says the truth is going to make us free. So as you're listening, just, you know, say something doesn't sound right, just think about it, put it on the shelf, and just ask the Lord. Come back and listen next week, and you'll hear more about John and also about Yeshua and also Elizabeth, who supposedly was barren, but see, God opened her womb.
That's right.
Because John had a very important part to play in
the
life
Baptist
of Yeshua.
Sure did.
And he was only 6 months older. So if we know when he was born, and we know when his father, who was
a priest,
went in to do his service
in the temple,
in the temple, and they all had certain times to do their duty at
That's
the
right.
temple. And we know exactly when he was to go and do that.
Absolutely. According to the Word.
According to the Word. And when the priesthood set up again, they know they have everything recorded. There's not one thing that the Jewish people don't record. Everything recorded. They know exactly what tribes are supposed to do their service in the temple. And so we know that time, and so it gives you the time of conception of Elizabeth. It just all comes together, you know. It's just like weaving this beautiful picture, and it just all fits together when you start to see when you have the different pieces. But you got to have all the pieces. You can't have one or two pieces.
You got to get all the pieces to put it together.
You find all the pieces, and then it just comes right together, and you see it. You see the whole thing. So without having all the pictures, all the pieces, then we don't see the whole picture. So we want to see the whole picture. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be here on WCNO. And this is how many years now?
17 plus years.
So we just thank you for your phone calls and for sharing with us and letting us know. If you'd like to send an offering, end of the year offering to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries for this radio program called Raising the Standard.
Reaching the standard too, aren't we? We're reaching for it.
Hallelujah. Amen. We want the standard raised in
Hallelujah.
Our lives as well, as you also do. So if you'd like to do that, you can send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's in Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip code is 34995. Or you can call us at area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. If you'd like to reach us, if you'd like a calendar, we'd be glad to mail you one. And to let you know that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. We have Friday night Shabbat services at 7 p.m. And then we have, we're teaching a class on boundaries mm-hmm. on Saturday at 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And then we pray at
mm-hmm.
6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a worship dance and flags, a class for those who are interested in worshiping the Lord with instruments and with the dance. You know, David danced, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So we have that, and that's at 2 o'clock on Saturdays. So just give us a call and to confirm that we're doing something that weekend. There's a couple weekends we will take off during the time, but right now we're pretty much on schedule for those things that I just mentioned. So just give us a call if you're interested in any of them. And if you'd like to know more about the ministry, or you'd like to have Pastor Gene's commentary on all the feasts of the Lord, and plus the one on Hanukkah that we're talking about now.
Yeah, and open your eyes, I'm telling you.
It will help to open your eyes and to help put those pieces together.
Amen.
Because, see, we need to look at the feast of the Lord, because that's how the Bible is scheduled for him to return, knowing his feasts.
That's right.
Well, we're blessed to be with you.
Amen. But I'm thinking about, it's nice to know some things about history as well.
Yes.
About the Grecian mm-hmm. nation and things
historians.
That happened, or the empire that happened and all that. And even this Bible I got from somebody years ago, when I started studying the Jewish roots. This is done by the Jewish Publication Publication Society, and it goes into a lot of detail, and it's good. And so when you look into some of those things, it opens your even reading the Book of Maccabees. Don't be afraid to read 1 and 2 Maccabees. It might open your eyes up to see some things about Hanukkah as well.
It's in the Catholic Bible.
That's right. So as we close, we tell you to look up every week, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.